So for those of you who don't know me, my name is Danielle, and I've had the privilege of growing up here in this ministry for pretty much my whole life. Since I was 4 years old, my dad's the pastor, and my husband and I have the privilege of serving here in the ministry. And we have two boys, a five-year-old and a two-year-old, and we love them, and are just loving serving the Lord in ministry. And I was thinking as I was walking over here, I should have had like cucumber water and lavender diffusing in the air and chocolate and stuff to help us relax a little bit. But thankfully, we have the Bible, and that's all we need. Amen? I'm just kidding. But we do have the Lord and His Word, and so I'm thankful for the truths that we can find in Scripture to help us with living a peaceful and Christ-centered life. I'm going to try to pin this one more time so it's not awkward for me to hold it, and if it doesn't work, I'll just hang on to it. Okay, if I talk loud, are we good? Okay, so we'll just do that. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer, and then we'll get started. Dear Lord, we just thank you so much for being such a good and gracious God. Lord, thank you for being patient with us when we do tend to stress and overcomplicate life. And Lord, we just praise you for being the God of peace. And Lord, we just thank you again for this conference and for all that we've learned so far just in the few days that we've been here. And I pray that you'll be with this session specifically. I ask that you will guide my thoughts and my words, and I pray that I will say what you would have me to say. And I pray that we'll leave this time having grown closer to you and maybe grown in a little bit more of a knowledge of your words so that we can go back home and live a more peaceful life that would be pleasing to you. And we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so in case we need a definition of stress, I thought we'd start off with that. I think we all know what it is and what it feels like. But stress can be defined as a state of mental or emotional strain resulting from adverse or very demanding circumstances. And I think that each of us in this room can attest to the fact that we have felt or experienced that tension and that strain in our lives from maybe circumstances out of our control, maybe from things that we can control that maybe we messed up on. But the truth of the matter is that we live in a stressed out culture. Just society in general today is very stressed, and progress is being made so quickly, but along with that progress, we have a lot more things that we can stress out about and worry about, okay? We have great technology. We have, you know, iPads, but then we lose them, or, you know, they don't turn on, and we have a lot of things that help our lives, but sometimes those things complicate them as well. And I read a couple of stats in the last couple of months that said 33% of Americans suffer from what they call extreme stress, and they say for 15 days out of the month, 33% of Americans say that for at least half of the month, they feel incredibly stressed to the point where they don't feel like they can function. 54% of Americans are concerned about their levels of stress. 62% say that work impacts their stress levels. 60% of women say that they stress out because they feel like they don't have enough time in a day to get things done. And I think I'm a part of that 60% of women. Moms on a scale of 1 to 10 say that they rate their stress level at least at an 8.5. 46% of moms say that their husbands cause them to stress actually more than their children do. They say that being a girl mom is more stressful than being a boy mom. I'm a boy mom, so I'm not sure if that's true, but they say, you know, dealing with girls and their drama could be more stressful. And then 72% of moms say that they stress out because they are so stressed out. So their stress causes them to stress because they wish they would just calm down. And then I found this to be interesting. My husband and I get to work with singles and with college students, and a recent study from the Stress in America survey said that millennials actually suffer from more stress than any other group right now in America. So our society is, we deal with stress on a daily basis. And just, is the screens are not working? No? Okay. I had these on the screens. These are not things that you have to necessarily write down, but there are many types of stress levels. So just as we get started today, I think it kind of helps us to know that we're all on the same page. There is a man named Hans Zeile, and he is the founder of the idea of stress. He kind of is the grandfather of stress study. And he said there is a good stress called eustress. It's the stress that we need to function properly in life, okay? It's when our boys are playing sports and we're stressed out and cheering for them. That's a good stress. It's the stress that helps us get work done and accomplish things. And I think sometimes when we're really stressed out, we wish that we could just like go sit by a pool and never move for the rest of our lives, you know, and we don't want any stress. But there is a level of good stress that God allows in our lives that helps us accomplish the work that He has called us to accomplish. Then there's a second level that is the everyday stress most of us experience in here. It's the stress of everyday life, maybe even a perpetual state of being stressed out, but it's just those outward demands that come into our lives. And then the third level is a level that maybe some people have to even seek more professional medical help with, because it really does affect their quality of life in a a way that is detrimental to their health. So what we're dealing with today is that middle level, the level of just the daily pressures of life. So there are many types of stress, and there are also many sources of stress. And for everybody in this room, it's going to be different because God has called us to have different types of ministries. We have different lives, different families. So stress comes from a lot of different places. Trials is one major way that sometimes we stress. Things outside of our control, a sickness in the family, a death in the family, a trial in our ministries can cause us a great deal of stress. I find that a lot of times I struggle with stress because of mistakes that I have made. And I tend to be a perfectionist, so when I make a mistake, I'm the first one to know it, and I'm the hardest on myself for doing it. And so, you know, maybe you've dealt with this when if you're in charge of the bulletin and you sit down at church on Sunday morning and there's a typo and you just, bothers you more than anybody, or a typo on the screens, or you waited till the last minute to do something in the copier breaks, you know, and it's just like, oh, or maybe you've talked to somebody. And even if you've prayed, you maybe felt like you didn't do a good job in counseling. And so you'll leave and you'll just analyze everything you said the whole way home and just think, oh, you stress out about, you know, what you said and maybe a mistake you felt you made in that conversation. So mistakes can cause stress. Also, comparisons and insecurities. You know, maybe another ministry is a little bit bigger than yours. Maybe that lady deals with things better than you, and she's better at ladies' ministry than you feel like you are. It's easy to compare and to feel insecure. It's easy to focus even on our own inadequacies or others' inadequacies. Maybe you look at someone else and think, if she would just get her act together, it would cause me less stress, okay? So that level of comparison and insecurities. I think we can all say there's just two more schedules add to our stress because there's always so much to do, and we all understand that. So many commitments. And then I also think that personalities can aid to our stress. I think I was born a stress case, okay? It was just like the type A firstborn. It was in my nature. You know, the Lord gave me the temperament he did, and I'm thankful for that. And some temperaments tend to stress a little bit more than others, okay? So we all have different forms of stress. And then also we all wear stress differently. This is the last introductory point, okay? So I think some of us can wear stress. It's more obvious when we're stressing out because of our actions. So I tease my mom because we have very different personalities. And when my mom is stressed out, if she's having a lot going on or a lot of company coming over, she will start cleaning out her closets, like right before company comes over. If I know company's coming over to my parents' house, if my mom is cleaning out her linen closet, because I just know she's just stressed out, so she just is going to do that. And she just, the activity helps her, and she knows, we tease her about that. For me, it might be more evident in my attitude, okay? So I'm not going to do any extra work, but I'm going to probably be frustrated with you. I'm going to be quiet. If I'm stressed out because of a mistake I made, I'll get more melancholy and more quiet. So we all wear stress differently. So I say this for two reasons. One is so that maybe we don't judge other people. We don't know what they're going through when they act a certain way. And then also so it kind of helps us maybe have a foundation as we go through these principles to know, maybe you didn't think about the fact that, oh yeah, I do stress about that. Or maybe I do look really ridiculous when I'm running around with my kids and my bags and I'm going crazy because maybe my stress shows more outwardly through my actions or through my attitude. So those are just some foundational thoughts to kind of talk about stress. But this session is how to reduce stress and how to simplify life. So let's talk about a couple ways that we can do that. And point number one is very basic, and that is to seek God first. Isn't it amazing how so often in the Christian life we just have to get back to the basics and just need that gentle reminder to do so? But to seek God first, and it's so easy to dismiss this point because it is so basic. But I know for me that when I stress out, I tend to either look at other people and I get frustrated with them, or I think, you know, oh, I see their lack of help or their lack of competency to do something or their lack of understanding for me when I need something. Or I tend to look to myself and I think, if I can dig deeper and work harder and stay up later, I'm gonna get this done, you know? And those are the two wrong places to look, okay, when you have stress. The first place we need to go is to the Lord and to his word, because that's where we find true peace. Jesus always tells us to look to him. We know that in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things shall be added unto you, even what you are going to wear to a conference or what you're going to wear to church. You know how we all stress out about that. I'm safety pinned all up today, okay? And I don't need to worry about that because it's okay. God says all these things shall be added unto you. I don't think we could talk about it, about stress and reducing it without thinking about Mary and Martha and how Jesus told Martha that Mary chose the one thing that was needful, and that was sitting at Jesus' feet. And Martha, we all know, she wanted to serve the Lord and she wanted to do all these great things for him because she loved him so much, but she didn't make a wise choice that day in not sitting at Jesus' feet. So to seek God first. Researchers asked over 20,000 Christians ages 15 to 88 if the busyness of life gets in the way of their developing relationship with God. And the result of that study said that 60% of Christians answered a resounding yes. That 6 out of 10 Christians said the busyness of life hinders my walk with God, and I have a hard time staying focused on it because life just gets so busy. So what does time with God do for us? Letter A, it gives perspective. Time with God gives perspective. I tend to think that if I can get rid of my problems or finish my to-do list or have a perfect day, then my stress will be gone, okay? So when I spend time with God, it reminds me, first of all, there will be problems in life that we will have to deal with, okay? You know, peace doesn't equal perfection. Perfection doesn't equal peace, okay? It doesn't have to be perfect for me to experience peace. John 16:33, the Bible says, Jesus says, you're going to have tribulation in the world, but I've overcome the world and I can give you peace. So time with God clarifies that perspective for me. And it also reminds me that God is in control. You may have seen this quote or heard this quote. It says, stress makes you believe that everything has to happen right now. Faith reassures you that everything will happen in God's timing. And sometimes when we stress out, we just get like overboard in everything that we have to do. We think it all has to be done right now. But time with God gives us that perspective. Also, a man by the name of Swenson, he wrote a book called Margin. He said, God is a God of order, peace, depth, and contentment, not irritability, frustration, disorganization, and burnout. And when I read that quote, I often just think, which words describe my life right now? Disorganization, burnout, frustration, or depth, peace, and contentment? And I want that depth, peace, and contentment that only God can give. You know how when you, maybe right before you go on vacation, they say the busiest work day of the year is the day right before you go on vacation because you're trying to get everything done, even when you're packing and getting stuff ready for your family. And I don't know about you, but when I go on vacation, I'm ready to go and I want to just relax and take a break. And I'm kind of like frustrated with life in general, usually when I go on vacation. But there's something when you come back after you've rested, I mean, unless you've gone to like a family reunion or something, that may not be very relaxing. But you know, when you come back, your house isn't that bad, you know, and life is pretty good when you come back because you've had that change of perspective. And that's what time with God does for you. It helps you. And I know often just in a moment of transparency, it's not a default for me to go to the Lord first. I can go days trying to carry these burdens on my own. And then when I finally remember, oh wait, if I just, you know, go to Starbucks or I've just gone to my car because that's the only quiet place I can find. And I just give it to the Lord. And after I do that, I do feel the Lord gives me peace, and I get mad at myself because I didn't do it sooner, you know? And I'm like, oh, I should have done that. I knew better. So time with God gives us that change of perspective. Then letter B, time with God gives peace. Someone said, you know, when you're really stressed out, if you start getting on your own nerves, and sometimes we have that lack of peace in our hearts, we're even frustrated with ourselves. And we know, I don't know what scriptures made it in your outline, but Mark 4:38-39, we know the story of the disciples when they were in the storm on the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus was asleep in the back of the boat, and when they woke him up, he said, peace, be still. And God brought peace to that situation, and he wants to do that in our lives. And I know that in this room, there's probably a lot of burdens represented and a lot of struggles and trials that are very real to all of us. Things that the Lord has called us to go through, whether that's, you know, dealing with small children or dealing with a hurting church member or a personal trial. And sometimes the days can be overwhelming and it could be hard for us to find that peace. A couple months ago now, I think maybe back at Christmas time, someone had given our family some tickets to Disneyland, and we were able to get season passes, so we wanted to take my boys to see a show called The World of Color. I don't know if any one of you have been to Disneyland, but The World of Color is a show that they project like cartoons or whatever on to a screen of water. They spray water up from their little sea there in Disneyland, and you can watch The World of Color show. Well, we had been to Disneyland several times and had never seen that show, so we thought, you know, we'll go at nighttime right when we get there, and then we had some things to do that night and the next day, so we thought, we'll just run into Disneyland at night, go right to that show so we can let the boys see it, and then we'll leave. So when we got there, you know, we're working through all the people, and someone told us that you want to get right in the front. So we were like, let's try to get right in the front. And of course, there was no way. The tickets were like given out already. We couldn't get right in the front. And someone heard us trying to get to the front, and they said, here, you can have our tickets. We're not going to go. And we thought, this is of the Lord, you know, so this is so great. So we had to like maneuver. I don't know if you've been there with like children in strollers, but it wasn't very stroller friendly. And we had to like maneuver our stroller past hundreds of people to get down to our spot in the front. And it was kind of chaotic. And when we got there, we were like, okay, I was trying to like play it cool and calm and not act like I was embarrassed that we had to do that and be stressed out. And Chandler was starting to get a little bit fussy, but he was calming down. And then it started raining. So I thought, oh, great, now we're going to stand out here in the rain. And then we kind of got excited, though. We forgot about the rain once the show started. But we found that the front of that viewing area for The World of Color is not the place you want to be, because when they project all the water up onto like into the sky, it just splashes down on you like the whole time. Okay, so we were up there like trying to get blankets, try to keep the boys from not getting too wet. And you know, we're trying to, and when you're that close, you also can't see the Disney characters up on the screen because it's just so close. And so like, do you see Nemo? No, where is he? And then we're just making this big scene. And so then it was a very impressive, roll of color. But somehow, like with the thrust of the water and everything that was going on, there was like a wind coming at us. And then there was a scene from I don't know what, but fire starts coming up out of the water. And it was just like a little bit intense. And I thought, oh man, Chandler, I hope he's doing okay. So I turned and looked at Chandler, who was maybe 1.5 or 2. And I was like, he's probably going to be crying. He's so scared right now. And I looked and he had fallen asleep on his dad's shoulder. And he was resting as peacefully as I have ever seen him sleeping. Okay. And I thought, look, I mean, we have literally wind, rain, and fire and all this stuff going on. And I'm stressed out. And, Chandler was just sleeping on his father's arms and he was able to handle that trial for, that wasn't a trial, but handle that situation. Okay. But getting to my point is that sometimes we have trials where we feel like we're standing right there at the edge of the world of color and we thought life was going to be so great and so awesome. And now we have a front row seat to every trial and every pressure and every difficulty. But if we can find time to rest in the arms of our Savior, he will comfort us and he will help us during those difficult times. You don't have to have perfect surroundings to have peace. You don't have to have a clean house to have peace in your heart, really. And I struggle with that one because I think if my house is not clean, I cannot have peace. And sometimes I have to go to the clean room in the house and shut the door just so I can focus to have time with the Lord, because otherwise I can't handle it. But you know, what I always think of is that Jesus, when he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was dealing with a lot of burdens. He was sweating great drops of blood. And there was a lot going on around him, but somehow in that garden, in that moment, he was able to find the peace to surrender his will to the Father and say, not my will, but thine be done. And he didn't have peaceful surroundings to do that. And so the Lord knows how we feel, and he knows that if we just spend time with him, we can access God's peace and God's grace in our lives. Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I love the words in the old hymns, and one of my favorites is, oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. So God gives us that strong serenity, that strong peace when we go to him. And the letter C, time with God clarifies our priorities. It clarifies our priorities. When we are in stress out mode, it's easy to do the wrong things, or it's often actually maybe easier to do a lot of good things, to just start adding more and more good things to our list of to-dos. I read recently that the word priority came into the English language in the 1400s. Maybe you have heard this. It was introduced as a word that meant the first thing or the prior thing. So if you had one priority, you were referring to the one most important thing, the one prior thing, the one main thing. It remained a singular word, priority, for 500 years until the 1900s. And then in the 1900s, the word became plural. And we now didn't just have a priority, we had priorities, as somehow there was a lot of important things to add to the things that we were already doing in our lives. So now we do have priorities. We could probably identify our top two or three or four. But God has called us to keep those priorities simply defined so that we can live them out according to his purposes. Again, Swenson in his book Margin talks about three types of priorities. The first one is trivial. Trivial priorities are spending time on Facebook, playing a game or looking at Pinterest a lot or whatever. Okay, these are trivial priorities that maybe shouldn't take up too much of our time. He also talks about temporary priorities. These are important, but they don't last a long time. This could be, potty training your toddler. It has to be done, but it's not going to last forever, okay? Maybe preparing for a special church event. There's a little extra stress or a bigger priority at that point in your life because it's just a temporary priority that has to take place. But then he says that there are timeless priorities. These never change no matter what season of life you're in. And of course, the main priority there would be our walk with God and our time with him. So it helps us to keep that perspective, live with eternity in mind when it comes to those priorities. Then letter D, time with God purifies our motives. It purifies our motives. Again, I don't know if this is just me or maybe just women in general, but I think often as we serve the Lord, it's easy for us to start out with pure motives of serving God out of a heart of love for him. And then sometimes along the way, we start serving for other reasons. We maybe serve the Lord for praise or for recognition or just even to gratify, something that we want to do with our lives. Martha, in an effort to set a table that was worthy of the Lord Jesus Christ, she missed the real meal, because her priorities were wrong. A.W. Tozer said, I think this is in your notes, I accomplish more when I rest wholly in the labor of Jesus than I do when I frantically try to do the work for him. Another quote by Oswald Chambers, beware of any work for God that causes or allows you to avoid concentrating on him. A great number of Christian workers worship their work. The only concern of Christian workers should be their concentration on God. Do you have blanks here for questions in your notes? Okay, so here are some questions we can ask as we seek to purify our motives when serving the Lord. First of all, do I serve to impress others? Do I serve to impress others? If you're doing something really great in ladies' ministry thinking this is going to look awesome on Instagram, then maybe our priorities are off a little bit, okay? And it's easy to do that because we live in that society, but are your motives right when it comes to impressing others? Do I serve for external reward? I will admit there have been times in my life when I have done this where I did something so great in ministry, serving the Lord, and was just waiting for a compliment because I knew I was going to get one, and then it never came. And then I realized afterwards, wow, I did, and I invested all of that time and energy without even realizing I was doing it for, you know, a pat on the back and not doing it for the Lord. So it helped. We have to have the motive to do things for the Lord. Number three, do I serve based on my mood? This is a big one for us too. When we're feeling it, we are serving Jesus, you know, and when we're not, we are not, okay? So do we serve just based on mood? And number four, do I serve for self-gratification? Because it makes me feel important or it makes me feel belonged. If we're serving for the wrong reasons, we will definitely stress out and not please God with our actions. So when you're stressed, seek Christ first, seek to abide in him. If you are feeling especially stressed out, you won't feel like you have a time to sit down and spend with the Lord, but you do. God will give you the time, and you will feel like your world is going to fall apart if you take a break, but it won't fall apart, okay? God will help you and enable you and strengthen you. Andrew Murray said this. I love this. Do not be occupied with the abiding. Be occupied with Christ. So sometimes I think, I'm going to abide with Christ, and I try to get memory verses, you know, all across my house, and I'm focused on abiding, and I'm not focused on Jesus, okay? Andrew Murray said, focus on Christ. He will hold you, he will keep you abiding in him, and he will abide with you. So number one is to seek God first. If you are feeling stressed out today, and all you do is go take some time, give your burdens to the Lord, and spend time with him, that's the most important thing you can do. Number two is a little bit more practical, and that is to simplify. I know sometimes I simplify just because I want to be less busy. So I think, oh man, I really want to organize my family photos. So if I could just get everything organized, I will have time to do something that I want to do. Okay. And really, simplifying is so that we can have more time with the Lord. Donald Whitney wrote a book on spiritual disciplines, and he said the point of simplifying is to remove any distraction that will keep us from focusing on our relationship with Jesus Christ. So we simplify. I know even like right now, a lot of books are being written on minimalist living and getting rid of stuff. And I love all of that, but I think I love it because it just makes me more minimalist, you know, and I feel like it makes things better, but I sometimes forget that the point is so I can focus more on God and more on serving his people. So we want to simplify. We want to simplify to live out our main priorities. Now, one thing I was going to mention, this was supposed to be on the screens, but there is a quote that Swenson said, and he said, prevent stress by becoming organized, or prevent stress by letting yourself become less organized, and you know who you are. Both waste unnecessary time and effort. And again, I tend to say, I'm not going to stress out, so let me add five more to-do lists and, you know, label everything in my pantry and label every toy in my boys' playroom. And I just, you know, label and make lists and extra recipes because I'm going to get organized. And that actually stresses me out even more. So I know that for me, I just need to let some things go. And then some people, they need to become a little bit more organized so that they don't have as much stress. So we know who we are. We know what our default is. So maybe just keep that in mind as we just talk about some general ideas. So letter A is adjust your surroundings. Again, so much more can be said on all of these things, but just some quick ideas. Maybe make it a habit to declutter. I know when I have a lot to do, I have to just clean off my desk. Otherwise, I can't focus, and I have to get rid of all the paper. I know a lady said that she, when she feels overwhelmed at her home, that she maybe has a lot to do to clean, she will just clean her kitchen counter so that it is sparkling clean, perfectly clean, because she feels like when that kitchen counter is clean, she can tackle anything else in the rest of her house. You guys are nodding because I think we all kind of understand and identify with that. So make it a habit to declutter. Another thing, you can get rid of stuff often, okay? I, again, read of a lady who made it a habit to throw 10 things away every week, at least 10 things away from her home. And I have done that since I read it, and I'm so thankful. And it kind of frees me from feeling guilty. You know, if my boys get a toy from Sunday school, or if they get, like, I don't know, a dollar toy from their grandma or grandpa, if I find it not in its place and I know that they got a dollar's worth of use out of it, then I'm getting rid of it, you know? And it just, they don't ever miss it, and I don't feel bad about doing it anymore, you know? So I try. I also read a man was talking about how another way we can give to the Lord is by giving to his people. So if we have extra clothes or things that people can use, to donate those and give, and that's, then it's a form of giving. You're decluttering your home and you're serving the Lord through giving. So get rid of things often. Another idea is to eliminate paper as much as possible. Evernote is my favorite app. If you have a smartphone or, you know, obviously we all have computers, Evernote is an awesome application you can use to help. And I know most of you have other great ideas that you could share as well. But I put all my recipes, my meal plan. I take pictures of my boys' crafts that they do at church, and I throw away the crafts when they're not looking, but then I have a picture of it if I want it later for a scrapbook. And so I keep everything in Evernote, and then it's on your phone. So now when someone asks me a question, even for a recipe, do you have this? I actually do have it right here on my phone. I don't have to go, pull out the recipe book, out of the kitchen, okay? So eliminate paper. Another thing is, some of you may like to write. I know there's a lot of people who like to actually write out their list, because writing does something for us and makes us feel better. I actually do like to write things out myself. So I often will just take a blank piece of paper and write out my to-do list or write out whatever I want to write, and then I'll take a picture of it and throw away the paper. Because then I did the action of actually writing, I got all my thoughts on paper, but now I don't have to keep the paper, and lose it at the bottom of my bag. Okay, letter B is adjust your schedule. Oh no, one more thing under adjusting your surroundings. Try to reduce noise in your life, okay? And by noise, I mean notifications on your phone, every time someone has a Facebook birthday or whatever, and all dings on your phone, or social media can be a distraction as you're waiting in line for different things. One thing that someone taught me on my iPhone, if you have an iPhone, and you may already know this, but you can I think it's called a VIP. You can make someone a VIP in your phone. So that way when they email you or contact you, then you get a notification that they did, but you don't have to get a notification then for every email or for every message that comes your way. So I have 5 people. My dad's office prefers a quick response to email. So that way I don't always have to check to make sure Mrs. Furso hasn't emailed me. I just will get a little notification when Mrs. Furso does, or whatever, or when my husband does. That way I'm not constantly checking. So there are ways where you can reduce the noise in your life. So that's an idea for that. Okay, then letter B is adjust your schedule. Adjust your schedule. Obviously, this will be different for everyone in the room. Here are a few things that the Lord showed me just through books I read as I was studying for this. First of all, prepare for the next day, the night before. I have not been as consistent as I want to be for this, but I made a routine chart for my boys in their bedroom so that every night there's 5 things we do before we go to bed. And one of them is laying out their clothes, and I cannot tell you the stress that has eliminated from my life, because somehow we lose socks every morning. I'm digging through the unmatched socks looking for a pair for the boys or whatever. But doing that has really simplified and taken away a lot of stress in the morning. So prepare for the next day, whatever you need to do to make that happen. Another idea is to have a calm morning routine. Again, I would love to sip tea every morning and, have devotions by the, fire when it's cold, or outside on my porch when but that doesn't happen. The wind blows a million miles an hour, and so I don't have those, but you can have a calm morning routine. There was a survey done of 8,000 Christians, and over 54% of them admitted to checking their smartphones within the first few minutes of waking up in the morning. They also asked the participants of this survey if they were more likely to check their phones before or after they spent time with God in the morning. And almost everyone said before. That was just a habit. And I've been there before. You're trying to wake yourself up and you're like, what's going on in the news? Maybe that'll wake me up, motivate me to get out of bed or whatever. And then it's interesting because they divided the results down by gender and by age. So it showed, which gender, which age, what percentage of those people that took part of the survey checked their phones and how often they checked it. And every time the women came out ahead. More often the women were the ones checking their phones, multitasking and doing all these things before they had time with the Lord. So we know it's kind of like our natural tendency. So it helps to instead spend time with God first thing in the morning. Another idea is start early. If you have a project you know has to happen, it may not hurt to get up an hour or two earlier in the morning and go to bed earlier and get up earlier, because then you can accomplish that before the day actually starts. I read in a book that when you study even the Old Testament, when God created the heaven and the earth, the evening and morning were the first day. And it didn't say the morning and evening were the first day. The next day started in the evening in the Old Testament and for the Jews living during that time period. And so I try to think when I go to bed that I'm starting my day with rest and I'm starting my day ready for what's going to happen in a few hours. And I try to go to bed earlier instead of, staying up later, because that's when my day is starting, is when I go to bed. So sometimes it helps to think that way as well. Next, single task on purpose. We know we can multitask, right? But whenever possible, single task. One task at a time until it's done. Next, create space in your schedule. Allow buffers throughout the day. Also, after a busy season, allow time to regroup. Another idea is to batch common self-imposed distractions. If you do you know, want, obviously we all maybe want to look at Instagram or look at Pinterest or whatever, it's better to say, okay, I'm going to do this from, you know, 8 to 9 at night, or I'm going to do this from 12:30 to 1, and that's going to be my one time, instead of looking at it all throughout the day. So you can match those distractions. Next, write shorter emails, okay? I used to be like the world's longest voicemail person. Like, I would leave a voicemail and repeat my number 3 times because I talk fast, you know, so I wanted to make sure everyone got it. And I would leave all these, I would leave long emails just to be very thorough. But these days, people just like quick, short emails, okay? And sometimes we spend a long time really thinking about, you know, extra things we can say. So maybe just keep shorter emails and also have fewer, more productive meetings. I saw a picture on social media that said, it was a blue ribbon, and it said, I survived another pointless meeting or something like that. And I thought, we do go to way too many meetings that things don't get accomplished. And sometimes as girls, I think we just start, especially if we're a part of a solution or whatever, we have a lot that we can add. And so whenever possible, even for the sake of, you know, the men that we work with, let's just keep things to the point and moving and just be a part of the solution and be concise and come prepared to think to meetings, especially if you work at in a church office or whatever. Okay, so adjust your schedule, and then letter C, slow down. Slow down. The New York Post had an article entitled, Society's Addiction to Faster Living is Destroying Us. And two things it said I found interesting. It was a long article, but what I have here, we cannot see that we are causing our own physical, emotional, and behavioral health problems as we try harder to go faster. We believe we should be able to go this fast, and we think there is something wrong with us when we can't keep up. And society is just pushing us to go faster and faster, and God wants us to slow down. Consciously slow the pace of life. You know, when Jesus walked the earth, his ministry was characterized by so many things, by love, by care, by concern, by purpose, but it's never marked by hurry. Jesus was never in a hurry. And sometimes we glorify stress and we glorify busy, and that's not a picture of Jesus Christ, because he was purposeful and he did not speed things up. He did things in his timing and by following his Heavenly Father. We rush through our days almost in this single, nonstop, anxiety-filled motion, you know, constantly on a go, just resting and then picking right back up the next day. So it takes effort to slow things down. One man said, for many of us, the great danger is not that we will one day renounce our faith. It is that we will become so distracted and so rushed and so preoccupied that we will settle for a mediocre version of it. And that was very convicting to me, because I hope I never renounce my faith. But I could settle for a mediocre version of it, because I'm not relying on God. I'm going too quickly trying to get things done. You know, I often think about Moses when he was in the desert for 40 years and he had those sheep. And I think when we talk about, you know, Moses was in the desert, I picture Moses just sitting on a rock watching sheep. You know, that's what he did for 40 years. But we have sometimes farmers or shepherds who bring sheep out to the desert for whatever reason to eat. And I watch those sheep, and we all know that sheep aren't smart or whatever, but they're kind of annoying too, because they would actually come up to my parents' house and, like, you know, they would get out of their little pasture or whatever and try to eat. And the shepherd was always trying to keep them in the way. So I think Moses was probably doing a lot of, get over here, come on, you know, sheep, stay in this huddle or whatever. And I know if it was me and I was Moses, I'd be stressed out just about sheep, you know what I mean? Get over here. And I know that my tendency would just be, come on, you know, sheep, get over here. And I'd walk by the burning bush, be like, oh, now that bush is on fire. I need to go get some water. Come on, sheep, come on. You know, and I would miss that was the Lord trying to talk to me in that burning bush. And sometimes, you know, God, we go through our days and God has burning bushes for us. He wants to talk to us, but we don't recognize it because we're taking care of a sheep, you know, and we're so stressed out. And it's silly to think about being stressed out about sheep, but it's also silly to think about the things we stress out about, you know. Elizabeth Browning said, earth is crammed with heaven, and every common bush is a fire with God, but only he who sees it takes off his shoes. So it just takes the slowing down to recognize when God is working, to disconnect, okay? So moving on to number three, I think that we're okay on time. Number three is surrender to God. So first we start by seeking God, and then we seek to simplify, and we could all share all kinds of ideas for how to do that in our own lives. I think we know what they are. I think it's just a matter of implementing them and having the discipline to do that and asking God for help. But the point will come after we seek God, and after we simplify, where something else is going to come into our life that we didn't expect, and there's going to be this moment where we have to surrender to the Lord to let him take control of what is going on. In life, we can't do it yourself. Are you any of you do-it-yourselfers in here? Can you raise your hands at me? Oh, just a few. I'm not. I wish I was. I don't have the patience for it, and it really stresses me out, so I don't do it. Sometimes I think that I know I am a do-it-yourselfer when it comes to life, okay? I'm not when it comes to crafts, but when it comes to other things. Jesus says in John 15:5, without me, you can do nothing. And no matter what God has called us to do or what we hope to accomplish for him, we cannot do it without the Holy Spirit's help. And God can do a much better job at getting our projects done and getting our to-do list accomplished than we can. And he wants to help us. He's in control, and he's a gentle leader. You know, sometimes I think that we think God is so proud of us because we are working so hard. And then I read Psalm 23 when it says that Jesus wants to, he makes us lie down in green pastures because he knows that we're not going to do it on ourselves. He makes us lie down in green pastures. He leads us beside the still waters. And he is a gentle shepherd who wants to help us. Archibald Hart wrote a book on dealing with anxiety and stress. And he said that when you are stressed or you have problems, that it would help when you pray to Jesus to actually picture the problem in your mind and then to picture yourself handing that problem over to God as you're praying, where you are just literally giving that problem to God and placing it in his hands. And just that mental picture will help you not to take it back when you go out throughout your day. And that has been a blessing and help to me. So the other morning, we were actually having a good morning, one of those mornings where you wake up and everything goes right, and we actually accomplished our little morning routine, my boys and I, myself. And so we sat down. The last thing on our list was to have our devotions, and this was like so great because we were actually getting to number 5 on the list before it was time to go. And so we sat down, and I was talking to them about, I can't remember what. Actually, it was something in like a little devotion book, but my son Camden was having a little attitude because he didn't want to go to class that day. And so I said, I was trying to just help him understand that we can give these problems to God. He had specific reasons why he didn't want to go to class and specific problems. So I was like, Camden, I want you to listen to mommy. You know how we get in these moments where we're going to be really, you know, dramatic and into it? So I was like, I want you, I'm going to pretend like I'm Jesus and you be yourself, okay? And I'm going to hold out my hands. And when I tell you to, I want you to give me your problem, okay? And I'm not doing it for you, but I was getting really into this. And so Kim was like, all right. And I was like, okay, come on, give me your problem. I said exactly what it was. It was the person in his class they had a problem with, okay? And I was like, you give it to me and I'm going to give you something so, so special. So finally, after some priding, he's like, here you go, you know? And I'm like, thank you so much. I'm going to put this problem right here and I'm going to take care of it, okay? Now I'm going to give you something. And this is a very special present. It's not wrapped and no one can see it. You know, so now Chandler, my 2-year-old, is actually looking at me. He's put his spoon down. He's like, you know, watching. And I said, okay, I'm going to give you peace. Okay, now remember, I'm pretending to be Jesus. I'm going to give you peace. Now here you go. Put it right in your heart. No one can see it, okay? And you just take that peace with you instead. And by the time I'm done, I have to be honest with you. I was like, this is a great mom moment. Like, I am like waxing eloquent. It was practically poetry. It was just coming out of my mouth. And even Chandler was just like so mesmerized by it. And Camden's looking at me. And I was getting a little prideful because I was like, this is awesome. And so I was like, okay, now do you understand everything mommy just told you? Are you ready to go and have a word of prayer? And he looked at me and he gets this like belly laugh when he thinks something's really funny, you know? He started laughing so hard and he said, that is the dumbest thing I have ever heard. And I was like, okay. So there went my moment. The rest of my day went like that. But anyway, I thought about that after a while. I think he meant like my little, I'm not usually super dramatic. I'm kind of the type of mom's like, go to the car. You know, I don't want to hear it. So I think he was just shocked that I was getting into it, as was I. But anyway, I think sometimes, you know, Jesus says, Danielle, give me your problem and I'm going to give you a special gift and it's called peace and you can take it with you all day. And I'm like, yeah, that is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. I'm going to carry this problem with me all day, okay? And that's why God wants us just to surrender. As silly as it is for Camden to say that, it's silly for us to walk around all day stressing about our problems. God wants us to give them to him. So what can we surrender? Quickly here, we're almost done. Letter A is surrender our expectations. I wake up every morning hoping that my day is going to go perfectly as I planned, and it's not. So surrender those. Nothing's going to be perfect. And if you have to wake up knowing that if God has a different plan for your life today, that he's got it under control, and you can surrender whatever plans you have. So surrender those expectations. Then letter B, surrender annoyances. Surrender annoyances, things that annoy you. We have to come to the point where we are even simple in our emotions, inwardly simple, to the point that we can trust God when people bug us, when someone messes up our perfect project or keeps bothering us with a certain question, whether it's our children or a coworker or someone in our church. Surrender those annoyances to God. Then letter C, surrender distractions. These are things that are self-imposed, things that I do that I shouldn't be doing, that are keeping me from doing what God wants me to do. And then letter D, surrender interruptions. When other people start interrupting your plans, you have to surrender those to the Lord. When your child needs you. I know I've been convicted a few times where my children need me, and I'm just like, you know, I'm doing something really fast, honey, and I really maybe need to do it, but I'm not seeing that interruption as maybe something that God has ordained for me to deal with right then, and I need to surrender my plans so that I can embrace those interruptions. Several years ago, my family had the opportunity to go to England, and I'm an Anglophile. Like, I just, you know, I like watching Princess Kate and everything. And I was so excited to go to England. And I was really looking forward to this trip. And it was actually a quick little layover. So we only had, I think, maybe a day and a half there. And my dad had planned exactly what we were going to do while we were there. He had some churches he wanted to study and visit to study church history. So he planned everything out. And if you've ever traveled with my dad, if you haven't, just consider yourself blessed. But he is like, you know, a man with a plan, and we're going to go. And I know that if my dad says be ready by 9, we're going to be in the lobby at 8:30, because that's what he really means. Okay, I've grown up with it, and I know how it is. So I came ready for the day. I knew my dad had an agenda, but I also knew there was going to be cute little shops and little things I was going to get to see along the way. And for whatever reason, this one day, my dad was especially driven to go find these plaques about preachers of the past or whatever and study things. So our family actually was laughing about it a little bit, because he would walk into church and he would start studying and looking at things. And then we were all there and didn't realize that he was like 2 more churches down the street. And he was just like on a mission to study. So finally, you know, we're literally like running to catch up with him a lot throughout the morning. And Christine had her baby and I had Camden, who was maybe 2 at the time. And it was like lunchtime, and we were expecting a stroll through the churches, a family lunch, you know, then like a little maybe devotion. My dad always has to do a devotion or something. And then, you know, just a nice day. So we were like, we have to feed our children. So we're looking for like something to eat. We found this little waffle place where my mom joined us because she was hungry too. So we're all like, hurry up, let's get some food before dad finds us. And of course, dad walked up and he's like, what are you doing? No, there are 5 more churches or whatever to see. And we're like, we are hungry. So we ate some food quickly. And then now I'm juggling Camden, who actually started misbehaving, and my waffles that are really hard to eat on the go. You know, it wasn't like we grabbed a cheeseburger or whatever. And so I'm trying to feed Camden pieces of the waffle. Then it started raining, so then we had to go into a store to buy stuff for the kids. And of course, there was only one store that was like the most expensive store in the world, you know, to buy coats that say England on them or whatever. And so I'm just getting like, you know when it starts building inside of you and you're just getting like more and more frustrated and annoyed? And I was really getting like that. It was not what I pictured it to be at all. This day was not going right. And I was honestly getting a little bit frustrated at my dad, because I just thought, can we not be a normal family, you know, and just like stroll through England or whatever. And so we got up to a church, and I had Camden, and he was not obeying. So I pulled him to the side of the entrance to the church door, and I gave him a quick little talking to, you will obey mommy or whatever, and eat your waffle. And I said all these things, and I was probably being a little too firm with him because I was frustrated. And I stood up, and I grabbed Camden by the hand, and I like walked like right into my dad, who was standing at the entrance of the door. And he looked at me and he said, Danielle, what in the world is wrong with you? And I wanted to tell him what was on my heart. But I said, to be quite honest, I'm very frustrated right now. And in my head, I said, with you. But I didn't. I just said, I'm very frustrated right now. And he looked at me and he's like, Danielle, you've always wanted to come to England. And we're here one day. He's like, don't be frustrated. Just enjoy the day. And I didn't actually want to hear that in the moment. But I thought about it for a couple of seconds as he went on to that church and I was outside with Camden eating a waffle. I thought to myself, you know what? It's true. I am here. It's raining. It never rains in the desert. I love when it rains. And I'm actually walking in it. This is like really cool. I would normally enjoy this if it wasn't, you know, the other circumstances. You know, I'm eating a nice waffle. I'm here with my kids. I could not have Camden with me. And I started thinking, this is actually true. I almost missed this whole moment that I could have enjoyed because I just got so caught up in being stressed out. And sometimes I think we go through life in ministry, and maybe we dreamed about being in ministry one day. We've all hopefully had to have a desire to serve the Lord, and we think it's going to be this beautiful sunny day, a sunny stroll through our favorite city, and we get into ministry, and some days are like the day I just described, and it's one thing after another, and sometimes we might even be frustrated with God because we feel like he's leading us to all this stuff, and we don't want to do it, and we get frustrated with it. And I think the Lord looks down and wants to tell us, hey, you know what? You are in ministry. You are serving the Lord. This is what you always wanted to do. Just take a break and enjoy what I am leading you to do, and embrace what I have called you to do. I like what Paul said to the Ephesians in Ephesians 3, 14 through 16. He was praying for them, and he said that he prayed that they would be strengthened with might by his Spirit in their inner man. And that is a prayer I pray for myself. It's a prayer that I pray for you as you leave today, that as you go through ministry on those rainy, even annoying days when you're trying to follow God's leading, that you will be strengthened by his might, by his Spirit in your inner man. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you again so much for this time we've had together. And Lord, I pray that we will just leave here today committed to giving you our problems and accepting the peace that you want to give us. I ask that you'll give us wisdom to know how to simplify where we need to simplify and how to trust when we need to trust. And I ask that we will be Spirit-filled as we go our separate ways to just apply the truths of your word to our hearts and lives. And we love you in Jesus' name. Amen.